And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to Community Spotlight, the Media One Radio Group's weekly public affairs program. I'm Terry Frank. The 22nd annual Cents for St. Susan's campaign is underway, and those yellow canisters are going out in the community to accept your loose, change, and other donations to support the Jamestown area's largest soup kitchen. Joining me this week in studio are St. Susan's Executive Director Bonnie Scott Slade and Jamestown Board of Public Utilities Communications Coordinator Becky Robbins, who helps to head up the Cents for St. Susan's effort. And welcome, ladies. Good to have you both here in studio.
Thank you.
We're happy to be here.
Let's go to you first, Becky. We're starting to come out of this COVID-19 pandemic, and the canisters for Cents for St. Susan's are going out. How long is this year's campaign going to run, and is there any goal for this year?
Well, we never really set a goal, Terry, because we don't want to not make it, but we hope to at least raise $16,000, and we think we're on our way to that because we have some very generous sponsors. The canisters have gone out in the last week or so to about 70 locations, and we hope to keep those out until the beginning of August or middle of August.
And how much has this campaign raised in previous years?
That's a very nice question. This started in 2000, and when I first started, they raised about $6,500 a year, and they also started with food donations. But over the years, we've raised, and this is our 22nd year, $253,335 for the soup kitchen. So we're hoping to add to that total. And St. Susan's is still in great need and still ready to accept customers or guests. So we hope to help fund that effort.
And I wanted to bring Bonnie in here. Bonnie, talk about Cents for St. Susan's and how much that helps you out.
Well, this is my third year experience, and it really is just such a tremendous help to St. Susan's Center. As you know, the monetary gifts that we do receive, we're able to then go out and make purchases that equal $7 with the Feed More New York. So every purchase that we make, we're able to then buy more food for St. Susan Center and just our overhead expenses. It allows us to keep staff on and to stay at 31 Water Street. So we do appreciate everything that we bring in.
Talk a little bit about how you've been having to deal with a pandemic. It certainly changed the way we live, the way we eat and interact with people. What sort of changes did you have to make down there, and how has it worked?
Well, we did have to close the dining room, and we've been serving our meals out the window, the front window, for the past year and a half. And that really means that guests aren't able to come up and get the meal and then come back and get the soup. So we've had to give everything to them all at once, and that means the bag lunch, the soup, the side dishes. And we've been partnering with Brigoda's, which we're so thankful to all of our distributors who have given us all of the donations, and they're giving, allowing us to purchase the discounted produce. So this is allowing us to give fresh vegetables and fruits every day. But really, for us, I know that some people are asking if we're closing, and no, we are not. We're hoping to open back up in August, and that means our window will close, and we'll start allowing guests to come back in and have a meal at the dining room, and we are looking forward to that.
And will there be social distancing? What kind of requirements will people have? I know before we started on air here, you talked about the fact that the staff will continue masking.
Yes, anyone that is in the kitchen prepping food will continue to wear the masks. Serving food will wear the masks. We're asking that any guest that has not been vaccinated continue to wear the mask. And we do have the dining room set up so that it is still at the capacity that is expected. So we have the dining room set up that way, and we will have a staff person or a volunteer in the dining room to kind of have that flow set up. But right now, our dining room will still be at the 11 to 2:30 just because we do have limited volunteers. And hopefully by August, we'll be able to have that be, you know, maybe we'll get more volunteers set up. But right now, that is scarce just because people are still a little bit worried about that.
Oh, I'm sure. How many volunteers normally do you have?
Well, right now they're on a two-hour schedule. So we okay. have volunteers come in every 2 hours, and it's two volunteers to bag up the lunches. And so normally then we have one at the window. But when we're open, we need them to do the dish pit. We need them to do the dining room. So there are ones that we need that we don't need right now. So in okay. August, we probably would need about six more than what we, and that's every day.
I want to remind folks you're listening to Community Spotlight this week on the six Media One radio group stations. Sense for St. Susan's is underway, and Becky Robbins with the BPU and Bonnie Scott Slate with the St. Susan's Center are my guests this week. I wanted to go back to you, Becky, for a moment, because the BPU has put this event on now for 21 going on 22 years. Why does the board do this?
Well, way back in 2000, the board of the Board of Public Utilities wanted our staff to find a way to help the local area. And the communications coordinator, Susan Jones, at the time, was involved at St. Susan's. And she got a whole big committee together, and they worked on the drive. And they had some fun over the years. They had somebody donate a shopping spree for 2 minutes at one of the local grocery stores, and they did things like that. So anyway, we found that it's a good thing. Over the years, there have been different executive directors, and they seem to run it. My boss, Dave Leathers, we look at it and evaluate it and say they're really doing a great, efficient job and a great service to the community, and we're proud to have our name associated with it.
And the BPU is kind of limited in what it's able to do in terms of fundraisers. Could you explain that?
Exactly. We, the Public Service Commission, which is now the Department of Public Service, I believe, in New York State, restricts, especially for electricity, they restrict right. what you can do. And we're not allowed to give away money, but we can do things to help other organizations raise money. So we have different people on the staff that volunteer. Sometimes we have hot dog sales, and all our different staff members will volunteer to sell hot dogs, which we can't do this year because of the COVID.
I was going to ask, are you going to be able to have any fundraisers as part of the campaign?
We decided not to do it this year, but we really okay. do hope to continue next year because it's our staff enjoys it. It's kind of a morale booster, and sometimes we've earned over $500 on that, and we set up right outside customer service, and the customers who come in buy their lunch, so it's great.
Bonnie, I wanted to go back to the number of meals and such, because the past year has been such an anomaly that, you know, I think it's important to lend some perspective here. Before the pandemic, you folks were seeing increasing numbers.
Yes, we were. And I do believe that when we are open again, we probably will start to see the increase. I think that right now, on an average, we're at about 100 a day. And that, to me, is still too many. But when we're counting meals, it obviously is more, because we are allowing guests to come back and get more than one meal, and that's why it's always seems like it's more a higher number. But as the stimulus checks came out this past year, our numbers did decrease, and then you know, it's a guessing game as to how many meals we need within a day. Mm-hmm. But we seem to get the hang of it, and we do a good job of finding out what's going on and have a good handle on that. But I do believe that, for the most part, our guests have also really been concerned about this pandemic and right. concerned for their own health. So they've stayed in, and I do believe that once we open, they're going to be coming back and coming back to St. Susan Center for that meal, because I know there's a need out there.
We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left in the program. I did want to backtrack just a little bit, because I believe you had your basket fair here recently. Talk about that and how that went.
You know, we had such a great turnout, and I would just like to say thank you to all of the donors. The baskets this year were just great. Thank you to everyone who participated, everyone who came down over the 3 days and purchased tickets. It really was a great turnout, and I'm glad that we did it. We got some great feedback. Some people were asking that we do it again in December so that we can have some Christmas ones, but because we also do it in spring, which is very close to December, we probably will just do the spring one. But I am hoping that we can do it at JCC. That would, you know, to me just be great that we can just have this back at JCC, because it is such a great event. But it was really successful. And I would like to just say, for those who are seeing the canisters out or are interested in giving a donation, whether it be monetary and or food items and non-food items, if you're looking to donate to St. Susan Center, right now, the items that we really are using a lot of are deli meats, fresh breads, sliced breads, cheeses, and fresh vegetables, fruits, baggies, paper bags. So those are the items. I know a lot of times people want to give the canned foods, the cereals. Those aren't the items that we're using right now. We will be using them again in the fall, I'm sure, as we get back to that type of item. But I often people call and ask, what are we using the most of? And that is right now. I know the cold winter will be coming upon us as quickly as possible, and then we'll be off and asking for the men's gloves and hats and women's gloves and hats. So keep us in mind for that, because those are always a need. So thank you, everyone, so much. I really do appreciate this community.
Well, we've got a couple of moments left. Becky, I wanted to go back to you, because I know that while the campaign and people putting money into the canisters is a big deal, you've got a lot of sponsors that are helping you out with Cents for St. Susan's.
Yes, we certainly do. We had a couple very special donors, and I'm looking for their names, but there's a nice couple, Judy and Steve McAllister of Jamestown. There's Key Bank, Chautauqua Chemicals, Quickfill are our largest donors, and we also have $500 donors, including Asplund, Boyle's Motor Sales, Century 21 Turner Brokers, Dan and Connie Evans, Faulkner Printing and Design, Freed Maxic Accountants, the Jamestown Islamic Society, the Legend Group with Lou Deppas, National Fuel, Northwest Bank, Robbins and Johnson Attorneys, Schultz Auto Group, Sloan Malewish Insurance, Weinberg Financial Group, and Wright, Wright & Hampton Attorneys. And the Post Journal is a media sponsor, but especially we thank the Media One Radio Group sponsor for giving us this time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We are so glad to help out. If somebody had gotten a canister in the past, and maybe by the end of this week doesn't have one and they need one or would like one, how can they do that?
They could call me at the BPU at 661-1680. They could also call Bonnie.
716-664-2253.
And St. Susan's is on the internet, I know. You've got a Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that will certainly help out. And again, the campaign, Cents for St. Susan's, last until when?
We're going to leave the canisters out to the beginning of August, maybe middle of August. And we like to welcome our summer visitors and hope that they will also, a lot of them are generous to a lot of organizations. So we're hoping that they'll contribute as well through our canisters or by calling us. And so we'll wrap it up sometime in August.
All right. Very good. Becky Robbins and Bonnie Scott Slate with Sense for St. Susan's. Thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And that's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at this same time.